At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welch. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. I'm here with my friend, Casey Bubba, at BTNtrick, at BDNtrick on the Twitter. Go ahead and plug everything at the top of the hour here.
Oh, for all those listeners wanting to hear it again.
That's right.
Benched with Bubba with a D. Benched with Bubba is the flagship podcast. Go check that out. Bubba the Bat Flip every Monday. Finished up our starting pitching preview. Going to go relief pitchers this week. So much fun. We had Paul Sporer on, Justin Mason on this past week. Awesome episodes there. I do golf. I do some other baseball podcasts. Rotoballer.com doing writing for season long and DFS there. The Fantasy Black Book helping out there. Lots of great content to get you through the season. If you need promo codes or you want to join listener leagues or all that good stuff, just check out my Twitter. I'm always tweeting stuff out there, and you can jump in on all that stuff. But go support Benched with Bubba. That's what would mean the most to me if you really care about it that much.
I know you got a bunch of Slack channels too, right?
Yes, my Fantasy Sports DJs. That's my website that I started a long time ago. That if you're a listener and want to learn how to write or just want to write for fun in fantasy, come on down. Like, we'll take anybody. And we have a Slack chat over there with, if you want a channel, we create new channels for people just to joke around and talk about things. But for all sports, for daily and season long fantasy, for betting, there's people chit chatting in there all the time. So have fun with that.
And I apologize, I had a weird ad pop up on my screen, so I don't know what was going on. I just heard some sounds and clicked out of it, so I apologize if there's any weird sounds right there, my bad.
You're all good.
As long as you're listening to Bubba, and that's what you need to be doing. You got all those Slack channels, and the golf was going nuts. What was going on this weekend with the golf? Is that when it was?
Yeah, it was this week. It's just tough. It's been some fun tournaments. It's been carnage. Like on Friday's round of golf, there's guys shooting like 8 over par, and it's just a disaster. It's so windy and nasty there, and people are just flip flopping the leaderboard. So it's
Freddie
chaos.
Freeman. There's too much wind.
There's way too much wind. So there's just people in there tilting together and having fun.
All right. So let's get back into, are you in or are you out on some of these players? We got three hitters left to go. The first one I have here is Gavin Lux. Obviously, last year only got in 23 games. So this will be his official rookie season because he only got to 75 ABs last year. Hit 240 in the bigs, 2 homers, 2 swipes in 23 games. But in AAA last year, he hit 392 with 13 bombs and 3 swipes. Had a fantastic year. Seems to have a great pedigree as well. Are you in or are you out on Gavin Lux? Because second base, once again, a lot like first, a a position that is kind of shallow this year.
I am in on Gavin Lux. I think the hit tool is legit. Yeah, I think he's a heck of a ball player, and it could be a very good value. I'm mainly in because second base, like you said, so shallow. I think he brings a lot to the table there. Just buyer beware. With the Dodgers, you never know what platoons might show up. So if he struggles out the gate, that can get interesting. But I have no problem buying into Gavin Lux. I think he is that good.
No one's the Rays as far as platoons go.
No,
but I mean, are the Dodgers too as far as that goes? Because Gavin Lux might get rested for, you know, Chris Taylor a couple days, and Jock Peterson might only start against righties. And, you know, I mean, these are really, really good players, and they have the potential to get platooned. I mean, are they like the second worst in LA behind Tampa?
Yeah, they just don't care about your fantasy team. Like, literally, there's so many ways. You got Pollock and Peterson in the outfield. You got Muncy, you can play all over the infield. So if a lefty's on, and I know it's lefty-lefty for Muncy, but they can move him to second base and put someone else at first base. There's so many different ways they can go about it, the way they build their team. They build their team very intelligently from a real-life baseball standpoint, but for us trying to figure it out, it's a real pain in the booty.
What about Nick Senzel? He made his Cactus League debut yesterday, finally, but he's coming off the shoulder surgery. We're projecting him to play in the outfield somewhere for the Reds. The outfield situation is very, very strange. I mean, we heard that Aquino might end up starting the year in the minors because he's one of the very few guys that has options on the Red Sox, or on the Reds, not the Red Sox. It looks like Akiyama might be in a platoon, maybe Winker as well. But Nick Senzel can play on the infield. And don't know if they're going to have him do it, but last year he was a nice power speed combo guy, only played in 104 games and wound up with 12 bombs and 14 swipes and hit .256. So there's definitely worse options out there. Are you in or out on Nick Senzel?
I'm out on Nick Senzel right now due to the shoulder injury still concerns me that it took him this long to get going because they thought he'd be ready at the start of spring and before spring. So that's slightly concerning. It's also these platoons are an issue. I guess the good thing for Senzel is if maybe Suarez isn't ready, he can play third base, or Moustakas can go to third. Senzel can play second. In reality, a healthy Senzel is probably better than Freddy Galvis at shortstop. That could be something that changes as the season goes on. I don't see Akiyama getting platooned. I really don't. I'd be shocked by that. I'm kind of comparing to Senzu Chu. I think he's got that ability that you're going to want him leading off more often than not. There's, you know, Winker in the outfield and those other options, but I guess the ability of Senzel to play all over, the power-speed combo is intriguing. I'm out on him, but if you're going to draft him, he kind of comes into that argument we had earlier of he's your one risk on your lineup. He's your Puig. He's your, you know, Adele. Those guys, there's so many question marks with him still.
Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of, you know, all over the place. And I just have a hard time drafting anyone out of this Reds outfield situation, even Akiyama. And I like him.
And he's cheap, though. He's cheap.
He's really cheap. He's much cheaper than Senzel. I mean, Akiyama.
$268 in the month of March.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's low, low, low. Senzel, yeah. Senzel going to $228, though, since February 1st. So he is dropping a little bit. I mean, he's down in the Urshela and Eric Hosmer area. So,
it's tough.
I haven't taken him anywhere. I probably won't, to be honest with you. So, I'm probably going to say that I'm out because there's just guys going below him. You know, Chu is going down here. David Peralta is going down here as well. I mean, there's just many other guys that I think I can get a little bit later. And they're just not going to come with that risk. Sure, you know, David Peralta was hurt last year, and he comes with injury risk. But he hit 30 homers the year before that. So I think he's going to be fine. You know, I'm okay with taking my risk a little bit later and not spending it on Senzel. But there's worse risks to take than Senzel, too, because like we said, you know, as soon as someone goes down, it seems like he has a job, you know, exactly. Regardless of where they are on the Reds. You know, he probably has some work to do. The last hitter I have here, Chris Davis. And this one seems fairly easy. I mean, the dude's likable. He's power. You know, he could wind up having a year somewhat similar to Jordan Alvarez that you're getting, you know, whatever, 10 rounds later. So I just got sniped on him. I missed him by one pick in one of my leagues. I think I missed him by a couple picks in TGFBI. So, you know, we know what we're probably going to get from him is back up to 247, you would expect, you know, even though I love that all the projection systems have him not hitting 247. Yeah. Which is
that's how you know projections are wrong. Just wrong.
But he's down to 23 bombs last year, and you're not buying him for – he's a three-category guy, which is why he goes later. He's not going to get you stolen bases, but we know he's not going to hit for average either, and that's why Jordan Alvarez is a potential, you know, third-round pick there. Is because that guy can hit 290 to 300 with all those bombs. He's not going to steal any bases, just like Chris Davis is. But these counting stats are what we want him for. And he was, there's no other way to put it, he was at an absolute letdown last season. So are you in or out on Chris Davis for 2020?
I'm 100% in. This is one of the best. If I had to pick like a most in on the hitters list, this is probably one of them, if not the one. He was so hurt last year. Like people, if they're saying he was just down. He was hurt. They didn't put him on the IL. Like, he has battled through it. It was bad. They should have sat in there for like a month and just let his wrist heal, his shoulder heal. Before the injury, he was crushing everything. After the injury, it just dropped off. Even his Statcast metrics feeling like a hard hit, all that good stuff. He was really grinding through an injury for no reason at all. So I got no problem with him getting back to the 35 to 40 plus home run guy, 247, helping you everywhere. And in reality, 247, 250-ish is actually not that bad in this era of baseball. So he's like a 3.5 category guy is the way I would look at it. But I would love to get him where he's getting drafted right now.
Yeah, I mean, 250, he's not Rhys Hoskins, you know what I mean, who's going to drop you down to if he hits 220 again. But 250, I don't think it helps or hurts you. So it's kind of neutral, you know what I mean? That's kind of what I see 250 as. I think between 250 and 265, you're kind of in that neutral area where if you're below that, you're probably hurting. If you're above that, you're probably helping in most cases. So he got, he's going around 170. And I mean, like, there's just some guys here that would absolutely take him over. I mean, JD Davis, I like JD Davis too. I'm not the leader in the fan in of his fan club or anything. So I'd take him above him. I really don't like Malik Smith because Malik Smith is an absolute one trick pony.
Ponies are deadly to your roster.
Right. I mean, maybe you can call him, like you just mentioned with Chris Davis, maybe he's a 1.5 trick pony because the runs are going to be there. I mean, he's probably above replacement level on that too, but it's just swipes with him, which annoys the crap out of me. I can't take those guys that are just all one category.
You can do that later in your draft too.
Right.
Don't waste a pick right there.
Yeah. And like Garrett Hampson is platooning. He's going,
that one blows my mind. Yeah, my mind.
He just won people money last year, and it's Colorado. You know, Colorado is one of those places where if you get the starting job, you're going to have enormous upside. Everybody knows
take,
that.
Take so. Sam Hillier later if you want the same player as Garrett Hampson. Starting out there.
Not when Yasiel Puig signs there. Let's go.
That'd be amazing.
But I'd be all for it. No, we got to hit a break, but we're going to be back here in just a second talking about pitchers that Casey Bubba is in or out on. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Check out the ITL Patreon if you would. It's patreon.com/ITL Army, or you can just go to InThisLeague.com and it'll redirect you to our Patreon if that is too much to remember. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Of course, the Welsh and I are putting out our top 300 rankings on there on Patreon if you're at the $5 level or above. We've got group me rooms where you can ask us questions and interact with a ton of people in the fantasy baseball community, fantasy football community. If you're a captain level, you get into all the rooms where we cover all the sports and stuff. We've got secret shows. So we are churning out the content left and right for you guys. So if you would, and if you enjoy us, go check out our Patreon. Bubba, we're here talking about some guys that you're in or out on, and I put together the list. We cleared the hitters, so we're on to pitchers now. And the first one, I mean, I think it's difficult to, for anyone to say that they're out on Tyler Glass now. I mean, I don't know that anyone would say, no way, I'll never draft him. But I see a lot of Tyler Glass now is winning the AL Cy Young. So yeah, I think there's just a line drawn in the sand where, you know, my elite pitchers probably kind of stop at Noah Syndergaard. And, you know, on NFBC, Glasnow is going just a few picks after him. So I'm kind of wondering where the break is. Have you taken Glasnow anywhere? Are you in on him? And is he a Cy Young contender in your eyes?
No, I have no Glasnow. I am out on him, and no, he's not a Cy Young Award winner. He's a very good pitcher. Don't get me wrong. He's developing a new pitch. We haven't seen a full season out of him. There's still some slight concerns. That's why they're playing it really slow with him getting into action. I think he's great. I think he's really, really good. The strikeout rate's been great throughout the minors. 33% with the Rays last year, 29% the year before. Really took that jump when he left Pittsburgh and came to Tampa Bay in that great Chris Archer deal. So there's a lot to like with Glasnow. You still got Snell. You still got Morton there. We know how the Rays can baby their younger arms. I wouldn't be shocked if that's something that happened. It's funny that you mentioned Noah Syndergaard. Another shameless plug on my last episode of Bench with Bubba, 256 with Sporer. One of the ADP debates was Syndergaard versus Glasnow.
Very nice.
That was one we talked about when you mentioned that. And I'm team Syndergaard in that respect. I think you said that he's your last ace. I'm assuming you'd be team
yes.
Syndergaard.
Yep.
Paul was team Syndergaard as well. It's not that we don't like Glasnow. For me, especially when it comes to pitching, I play a little safer, if that makes sense. If I'm taking a risk on pitching, it's later in the draft. Not where, you know, he's going around pick 60 right now. 15-team leagues, that's the round four turn, 4-5 turn. That's still too risky because he's either your SP1 or your SP2. And if I'm going that route, I want some more stability. So for me, I'm out on Glasnow. I think a more fun debate might be with the helium of Brandon Woodruff. Would you rather Glasnow or Woodruff? I think is an intriguing debate as well. But
I have them literally right next to each other on my rankings. So
I think that's an interesting debate because those are two younger arms. Both haven't done it for a full season. And they're both on the hype trains all the way up right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, Glasnow, better pick in Roto than head-to-head because
yes.
He's probably going to be on an innings limit. You'd think around 150 to 170 in that neighborhood, which isn't terrible, of course. But in Roto, you don't care when the innings come as long as they come. In head-to-head, you need him for the playoffs. So if a guy's on an innings limit, the potential for shutdown just rises and rises. So, I mean, I I have missed out on Glasnow by a couple picks here and there where I would have taken him. So it's not like he's off my board or anything, but I'm just not a truther. I'm not the guy that's pounding the table for Tyler Glasnow. I do like him. So I think we're kind of in the same area as far as he goes. The next guy on the list here, Trevor Bauer. And look, I'm not asking about whether you like his rap songs or his general attitude towards anyone with authority or his comments on the women he would date. So let's take douchebag persona outside of it. And this guy is still a dude that goes over 200 innings last year. The ERA was not good. It was almost 4.5 last season. The whip was 1.25. We just expect more from him. And hopefully he'll settle down and be in a better situation in Cincinnati this year. But have you found yourself with any shares of Trevor Bauer, or are you staunchly for or against him?
I have no shares of Bauer. I'm against him. I enjoy what he's doing on social media from just he's just that sarcastic a-hole that I can respect. he's dumber than dumb, and I agree, the douchebag persona, but I just learned to embrace it and laugh by now. But the question I have is, why should we expect more from Glasnow when in 2018 he had a 2.21 ERA? Outside of that, it's been 4.18 or worse every other season he's pitched.
Yeah, you mean Bauer. You said Glasnow.
Bauer, sorry. Bauer. Like, he's been that bad every year. He had one great year. And could he bounce back? Sure. Like, he's a massive strikeout guy. He's going to eat up a lot of innings. If that's something you're looking for, maybe you're in a points league where you can rack up stuff like that. You know, the Razz Slam, you get like 3 points per inning, you get strikeout bonuses. You also get dinged on the bad things that he does. It's kind of a hit and miss with him. I am passing on Trevor Bauer. Zero Bauer for me right now.
Yeah, I don't have him anywhere either, and I'm kind of with you on that. I think here's the thing, I think, with Bauer and with pitchers that you kind of wait on for a while to come around is we had Zach Greinke took forever to get it going. You know what I mean? Like, he just took forever, and the year that I gave up on him, he won the Cy Young. And I think that's kind of the dragon you're chasing when you're chasing a pitcher. You know, he goes into his 2018 season and he finally gets that ERA. Not only is it under 4, but it's under 3. And it's almost at 2 at 2.21 in 27 starts. That's a fantastic year. He looks like, you know, finally he's breaking through and he's going to start peaking and perhaps, you know, be a Cy Young contender or something in that neighborhood. And then the next year it goes to crap. And he gets traded, and he has a terrible attitude, and he puts out terrible rap songs. So, I mean, I'm just not in on Trevor Bauer. And to be honest, it's just I have a hard time rooting for Trevor Bauer, too.
I get it. He rubs people the wrong way. I totally understand it.
Yeah, but, especially me, you know, a Diamondbacks fan. So, not the biggest Trevor Bauer fan. But, you know, let somebody else take him. That would be my advice. What about my guy, Zach Gallen? The D-backs last season traded Jazz Chisholm for Zach Gallen. A lot of people were like, what the hell are the Marlins doing? I didn't question it at all. I thought it was a fantastic move by the Marlins. Jazz Chisholm is going to be fantastic. He's a great shortstop. Definitely just get rid of that pitcher. You got enough pitching.
They always have enough pitching.
Right. So, but he was great last year. You know, ERA under 3 at 2.81 in 15 starts. K per 9 up over 10. Whip was 1.23, not bad. The XFIP was a little ugly. You know, with that 2.81 ERA, the XFIP was 4.15. So, I feel like there is a enormous hype machine around Zach Gallen. I feel like he is the risky pitcher that a lot of people are in on. And even as a Diamondback fan, I just have not been reaching for him very much. So have you taken Zach Gallen, and are you in on the hype train here?
Have I taken Zach Gallen? Yes, I have a lot of Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen and Max Fried are probably two of my most owned pieces on all of fantasy baseball this year. I love what Zach Gallen did last year. He's just a consistent pitcher. If you ever let the walk rate drops down some more, you know, he had a 2.81 ERA with a walk rate of over 4 per 9. That is redonkulous. So if he can drop that back down to even 2.5 or so and keep striking guys out the way he's doing it in that West where he's facing the Giants and the Padres and, you know, the Rockies outside of Coors and stuff like that, there's a lot to like for me with Zach Gallen where he's going. He's a good SP3, SP4, depending on how you form your team. But yeah, I'm all in on Zach Gallen. You know, I wouldn't expect a 281, maybe like a 3-3. Still very solid stuff, though.
Yeah, I mean, I like him a lot. I just feel like I've been trending more towards taking pitchers a little bit early, and he's one of those middling guys where I kind of focus on bats. So it's not necessarily – I'm not taking Zach Gallen because I wouldn't. I don't think I'm as – gung-ho as you are, and I know a lot of people are really in on Zach Gallen. I'm not as gung-ho, but I do like him. What about David Price sliding over from Boston to LA? Kind of a dangerous pitcher to own because of, you know, a potential innings limit. He's had injury stuff recently, but this seems like a good get-out-of-Dodge situation as far as Boston goes. And he can go on the West Coast and kind of relax a little bit. What are your thoughts on David Price for 2020?
I think he's a great choice for 2020. He's going to probably get you 150, maybe up to 170 innings, give or take. And when we talk about that, it doesn't sound like a lot, but where you're drafting him around pick 160, give or take, those are 150 to 170 quality innings, because David Price – isn't going to, you know, if anybody benefits from leaving the AL East, it's going to be David frickin' Price. Like, it's a big move for him. The Yankees teed off on David Price. He's going to love the NL West. He's going to love pitching it in that nice ballpark there in LA. The strikeouts have always been at least one per inning, if not higher, for a guy like Price. He can keep the ball in the ballpark, doesn't walk a ton. If he can give you 27, 28, 30 starts, really good starts with the Dodgers, I think it's just a great pick. He's not going to be a massive innings eater, but what he can give you, you know, he's going right before guys like Matt Boyd, Kenta Maeda, Carlos Martinez. It's an interesting realm, but I think David Price has a really good upside at this price point.
Yeah, and I've always kind of been a David Price fan. I mean, I don't like his comments on Baseball Writers. I mean, that's kind of stupid. But he's always been a fun player to watch, and one of those guys that really put up numbers when you expected it and wasn't too wishy-washy until, of course, the back end of his career. You know, up until 2016, he was pretty damn good and pretty consistent. You kind of knew what you were getting out of him. And then 2017 happened with the injury stuff. He only had 11 starts there, and then he was back up to 30 in 2018, and then back down to 22 again last year. So the Dodgers can baby him, and I think it's what he needs at this point in his career. But stick with us. We'll be right back after this to talk more pitchers that Bubba is in or out on the Sports Grid. Stick with us.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In this league.
I'm back!
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Follow my friendo, Casey Bubba, at BD Entrick. We're talking pitchers that Casey is in or out of here. And Julio Urias is one of them. I have been a Julio Urias hater. I think the talent is there, of course. I don't like him being on the Dodgers. We just were talking about David Price. David Price can be babied in L.A., and the reason is they have tons of guys that can just spot start or start. You know, Stripling is still there, of course. So they've got a lot of options. Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, and there's all kinds of options that could start. That's why I'm kind of out on Julio Urias. The dude is still young, but he's 23 years old. So he's got a lot left as far as his career goes. But the most starts that he's made in a season was 15 in 2016. 5 in 2017, none in 2018, and then 8 last year for the Dodgers. So are you in or out on Julio Urias?
This is a really easy one for me, and it's called out, Bob.
You're just going to be out on this one.
When you haven't thrown more than 79 innings, and that was last year, a lot of it out of the bullpen, it's really hard for me to take a draft pick that just in the month of March go to 142. Yeah, Erod. Yeah, Robbie Ray, Kyle Hendricks, you know, David Price coming up right behind you. I'm not taking Julio Urias. It's real simple for me. Like, I think the talent is very good, like you said, but he just doesn't have the innings. And if I'm drafting a guy here knowing right away that, you know, I might get, I'll be lucky to get half a season on the mound out of him. You know, projection sites have 23 games started, but then he got him in the bullpen. I think he just serves better out of the bullpen, period. That's where I think he goes. You mentioned Wood, Stripling. I love Dustin May. So I'm out on Urias.
I mean, I think he's going to get a starting gig out of spring. You don't think he's going to get that?
No. He will be starting out of spring. Eventually, he'll go to the bullpen. I think he's better served out of the bullpen. I think he'll make his 15 to 20 starts, and then they'll move him to the bullpen so he's there for the rest of the year into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hope you're right, because I'm a zero shares of Julio Urias guy. So Welsh and I were talking about this. I think it, like, and I said it to the Welsh, if he was on a different team, I think I would, my opinion would change. If he was on the Reds, you know what I mean? Taking up one of their last spots, my mind would change on him. It's just a situation in L.A. where they have so much. They've been known to kick guys in and out of their rotation and lineup. I just think it's a little bit too risky. And it's not like he is a giant pick or anything here. He is going right now. Well, he's going around 150. He's going in the same neighborhood as Robbie Ray. I'd rather have Robbie Ray, right?
Yep, 100%.
Kyle Hendricks is kind of a tough one because I'm not a Kyle Hendricks guy.
Good ratios guy. That's what he's there for.
Matt Boyd, I'd rather have Boyd. I'd rather have Price. You know, a lot of these guys going way below him. Maeda, I think I'd rather have. So Sean Manaea, I would definitely rather have. So there's a lot of guys just going below him that I would take first. So he's just not an option for me at all. How about another D-backs pitcher, Luke Weaver, coming off of the arm injury last year? He pitched at the end of last season, though. So he came back and was okay, and his numbers were good, a 2.94 ERA, a 1.07 whip. It was pretty damn good, you know, bouncing back in Arizona after the Goldie trade and all that stuff. He hasn't looked fantastic so far in spring. He's looked, you know, fine, but I think this is one of those guys where you're going to have to look at his spring stats and go, all right, I'm just not worried. You know what I mean? He's fine as far as the injury goes. He should be okay moving forward. But even, you know, the projection system still have him at, you know, only one. ATC has him for 25 starts. Everywhere else has him between 24 and 20. So, kind of low on that. Are you in or out on Weaver? Because I'm in.
I'm out right now. I liked what he did last year. I know he came back and finished the year on the mound, which is always good. This is one that could come back to bite me, but I'm just not in on him right now for the fact 136 innings in 18, last year's injury-riddled season. The D-backs, not like the Dodgers, but they still have depth in Merrill Kelly and others that can come in and fill in from time to time. So I'm out on Luke Weaver. I think he's very good, but I just don't trust what he's going to do this year.
Yeah, and that's understandable. I totally get it. And I will just say that, you know, pitchers' elbows are so finicky, and that's why we're not taking Chris Sale, is because you say flexor strain in his elbow. I don't like any of that noise, and because Luke Weaver only wound up starting 12 games last season because of a mild UCL sprain. Yep. That's what it was called, mild. But you can't go out and throw 100 pitches when you have any type of sprain. So it was something that was recoverable, and it seems like he's done that now, but it just was something that you cannot pitch with because pitching is just an unnatural action. Nobody goes out there and hurls something as hard as they can 100 times a day. So it's just nuts. What about Mitch Keller? For whatever reason, I feel like Mitch Keller is getting Tyler Glasnow hype. I feel like some of the people that are in on him are like, NL Cy Young, dark horse, Mitch Keller, that's him. He's 23 years old, still very young. He started 11 games in the bigs last year. That K per nine is sexy, 12.19, but he was 1-5 with the Pirates. I mean, you just have to consider it because wins are, of course, part of it. What are your thoughts on, and his ERA was over 7 last year. I mean, it was not good. But what do you think about this guy, Mitch Keller?
I'm in on him. The ERA was over 7, but the xFIP was 3.47. He had a couple rough starts there. Other than that, he's fine, and he's dominated in the minors. He's a prospect pedigree guy that just hasn't got it going in the bigs, but his stretch through the minors, he's been very, very good. The strikeout rate's been awesome, like you said. A little too many walks, but not horrible. 3 walks per 9. You can work with that in this era of baseball. It would be nice to get a little more ground ball action. But for him, it was, you look at the time with the Pirates, a 60% left on base rate. That's not normal. Everywhere else, he's in the 75s and above. So I'm a big Mitch Keller guy. I think the fact he combined for over 150 innings last year, between AAA and the bigs, he could stretch it out this year if he figures it out. He's already talked about the new philosophy in Pittsburgh. They have new pitching coaches, new coaches. They're bringing in Rapsodo machines and other ways to learn how to pitch. They're basically joining the times, unlike Clint Hurdle, who still thinks, basketball's played with a basket, like an orange basket. So these guys are actually doing normal things that real contenders want to do. His velocity is increasing, just like Joe Musgrove's is. I'm a big Keller guy. The difference between Glasnow and Keller for me is 160 draft picks. So I will take a chance on a guy like Mitch Keller.
Ooh, okay. So, I mean, you're absolutely in on him.
Yeah, I have a lot of Mitch Keller, yes.
So, man, where does he rank for you as far as starting pitchers? Like, I got him around 60. I have him behind guys. Like, I'm in on Adrian Hauser, even with his weird thumb tightness.
I like Hauser. I can do that.
Yeah, I think I'm just more in on Hauser than I am on Keller, so I've been taking more of him than Keller, and someone else is taking Keller on me. I mean, how high is he as far as your SPs go?
I have him at SP 47 right now.
47, okay. I have Mike Minor at 47. So
I have Mike Minor at 56.
Okay. So I just, the 200 strikeouts last year for Mike Minor is what moves him up there for me, for sure. I mean, I like Mitch Keller, but I don't know if I'm going to have that Bubba helium on Mitch Keller. So what about a guy like Sandy Alcantara? The Welsh loves Sandy Alcantara. Pretty good pedigree. Of course, playing for Miami is not going to help you as far as wins go. But the dude is going so late. He's almost free. 94 overall as far as NFBC as pitchers go. That's mixed in with starters. He's going one spot below a guy like Adrian Hauser, but Griffin Canning is down here. Chris Archer's down here. These are the kind of guys that he's going around, and I would rather take the risk on Sandy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a big fan of Alcantara. The draft pick price is phenomenal. He's my 50th SP on my rankings, and a lot of it's his improvements he made in the second half of the season, and in just the last few months, the month of August, and 234 WOBA against, and a 276 in September. The ERA was 3, and then 2.6 the last 2 months of the year. Really made some pitch mix changes, and one thing he really did was strike out a lot of guys, 27 in August, 35 in September and October. So he really got it going. A heavy, heavy sinker guy, which is good because usually sinkers are scary, but he knows how to use it, keep it out of the zone. and a bugaboo that many had for Alcantara is a strikeout rate. Well, that's why I want to emphasize the last 2 months of the year. He made pitch mix changes at the end of the season. Fastball velocity went up. He mixed things up more, and that resulted in more strikeouts, less quality of contact, and much better overall numbers. People forget he was traded in the Marcelo Zuna deal. He was one of the top pitching prospects for the Cardinals. Big Alcantara fan, and the biggest reason why, like you said, is that draft price. It's sneaky good.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the guys that, you know, you get traded from one of the best organizations in baseball to one of the worst, and people just all of a sudden forget that you exist. So, yeah. All the stats that you rattled off there, plus this guy threw 197 and a third innings last year. So,
yeah, innings eater.
Yeah, innings eater. He's going to be there for you, and just a great late pick. So I really like Alcantara for this year, and I probably won't get him because the Welsh likes him way more than I do. Two guys that we can wrap up real quick here to end these pitchers. Dylan Cease and Forrest Whitley. Are you in on either one of those guys, Bubba?
Cease I like. I compare him to like a GPP play in Daily Fantasy. Very, very high ceiling, very low floor because the control can be an issue and can be a blow up, but the stuff is awesome.
What about Forrest Whitley?
No, I'm not there yet because I don't know how much he's actually going to pitch. I think he's great. We saw a bunch of ups and downs last year. Never really got to the bigs. Questionable for this year, but you never know. Maybe Josh James or Kitty doesn't get it done, but no Whitley for me.
Yeah. I took him in TGFBI just as kind of, you know, I think
that's
I took
15 him in 29 teams, 30 rounds.
Right. Yeah. I took him around 29. So, but after this break, we'll be back with the last segment. I can't believe it's already the last segment here. And is it the last segment or am I miscounting? My God.
It is. It is.
We'll be back with the last segment with Bubba, and we'll talk about our TGFBI final rosters. And then hour three, we will pick up with Mike Curlin. So stick with us, and we'll be right back after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and smoking
in this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back. It's the end of hour two on In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm here with my friend Del Casey Bubba. Remember to go and follow him on the Twitter at BDEntrick and listen to his pod Benched with a D, Benched with Bubba. And he's got all kinds of great guests. Just had Mason and Spore on. So you're going to get all kinds of awesome information from him. But I want to talk about your TGFBI team, because unfortunately you guys aren't all the way done, but you are picking in the last round as we speak right now. So probably only a day or two left, you would hope.
if it's 2 days, just finish me now.
Well, you were picked 7. We talked a little bit about it, I think, a couple weeks ago. But how did the team shape up, and what were your favorite picks here?
It's been fun. Like, I'm usually not a pitching early guy, but I've said it flat out. If Cole or DeGrom falls, I'm there. And he fell to me at 7. DeGrom did, so I sniped him up. And then I got some of my favorite guys. I got my Marte and my Baez, Starling Marte and Baez, kind of 5-tool guys. I like going balanced. That's one thing that I preach on my shows, my articles. And I came back with Darvish. So, like, the idea of DeGrom and Darvish is my 1-2. We've talked Zach Gallen's on this roster. Mitch Keller's on this roster. Some guys I really, really like are on this roster when it comes to pitching. Ramon Laureano's a guy you mentioned. I have him in a lot of places. I like how it is. It's just I'm used to kind of going bang with guys I like, not kind of waiting for the flows of the draft. And so, you know, I jumped on a few guys I haven't really gotten a lot of shares of this year, because I'm usually drafting at the front or the end of drafts. And I eventually I just started reaching for guys a little earlier than I needed to, but I wanted to make sure I get them because it's been so hit and miss. But it, overall, I like it. Lots of balance, some gambles late as we have like seven roster bench spots, as we talked about. But it'll be fun to see how we churn and burn and get going here as the season gets started.
You know how I know that we have evolved from last year is neither one of us has Josh James. So,
which sucks. I do have him in a 12 team league, but yeah, not in this league. Like, I love Josh James. Like, are you so scarred that you're out on him? Because, man, he looked really good the other day.
Yeah, I mean, look, I actually wanted to take him, but he went a little bit too early for me. So, yeah. I couldn't afford it as far as where it goes. To be honest, you know, I think this is my. Is this the third or fourth year of TGFBI?
Year three of TGFBI, my third year overall.
This is easily, I think, the best preseason team I've put together, in my opinion. And I know a lot of people like my start last season. I kind of like it all the way through this year. I started out with Arenado, Scherzer, Darvish in my first three rounds. Then Pete Alonso fell, so I got him first pick in the fourth round. So I thought that was kind of a steal, but I didn't have, speaking of, and I didn't mean to be a dad in that transition, but I had no steals with that start because it's two starters and two power hitters. So I went Whit Merrifield at pick five, Whit and Ramon Laureano pick six. I wanted Gallo so bad to fall back to me, and he went ahead of me by one damn pick. In round seven, so I doubled up on closers, seven and eight, because I have the turn here. So I went Liam Hendricks and Kenley Jansen. And then in the next round, I you know, continue to build on power. It's something I like to do every draft. I went with Kyle Schwarber, followed up by Eduardo Rodriguez, who myself and I know our buddy Joe Pizzapia are huge into this year.
Yep, love Erod. I love that little spot of Erod, Gallon, Freed, that little like grouping there.
Yeah, yeah.
If I get like two of those three out of every draft, I'm so giddy.
Yeah, I like, and he just kind of fell, you know, and that's kind of what the being on the end kind of sucks, because you do have to wait and see who falls to you. But it's also nice, like with the closer run that I did with Hendricks and Jansen. I liked being able to double tap there. Then in 11, let's see, what would that be? That would be in, 11 and 12, I went with Buxton. In 11, like I said, I've been grabbing him in a lot of places, hoping that this is a breakout year. But if he's going post 150, I think he's a decent value, right? Yeah, yeah. And then Matthew Boyd was my next pick because he fell a little bit as well. Then moving forward, I took Brian Reynolds, Jeff Samardzija, and Shin-Soo Chu. Well, my next couple picks, I needed a CI, and they were getting kind of ugly. And I wanted Brian Anderson to fall to me, but he went. So I went with CJ Krohn in the 17th, Nomar Mazara in the 18th. I don't know if you're in on him as well, but I have been owning Nico Goodrum in like every single draft that I've had. It's just ridiculous. He qualifies all over the place.
That's what I love about him. Like, I don't try to make it a point too early in my draft. If it's like between player A and player B, I'll look at multi-position. But later in the draft, like with Goodrum and a handful of other guys, you give me two, three, like Goodrum, it's like, heck, middle infield, corner infield, outfield, second base, I think third base was one, first base, one of those. He's all over the place. And in a league where there's an overall prize, you can't be having dead roster spots. So, and with Fab in play with no $0 bids, he gives you so much flexibility where it's like, okay, maybe I can hang on to this guy another week that might be banged up. Instead of having to drop him to replace him, I have a guy that can replace him this week because I have Nico Goodrum.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I was just, you know, super excited to get him where I did. And in my, I got him in my AL only league as well. I just, he's a fun player to own, especially it looks like he's probably going to be hitting leadoff for the Tigers or somewhere high in the order. Then I went on a nice pitching run here. I went with John Gray, followed up by, I didn't have a catcher yet. So, and I got John Gray in the 20th round. I got him, you know, it seems like around 41 picks after he normally goes. So I'm not a John Gray guy, but people are avoiding him like the plague because he throws in Colorado. And I understand that. But, you know, a couple of years ago, he had a pretty decent season. So You can always drop him if he doesn't work out, especially anyone after round 20. But I went with Gray and Posey, and then I went with Yanni Chirinos, Yoshi Hirano, Jordan Lyles. Then my bench hitters here in round 25, I went with Gerard Dyson. Round 29, Tony Walters is my second catcher. I wanted Jacob Stallings from Pittsburgh, but he went three picks ahead of me, and I got sniped in the 29th round. So it's just something that happens. And Jason Hayward being completely overlooked. I mean, I don't know that Jason Hayward needs to be drafted in most leagues. This is a guy that can steal you 10 bags and hit 20 homers and won't crush you in batting average late. So I scooped him up. It's just better than other options around there, right, at the bottom?
Yeah, the only guy that, unless I'm missing, I'm just kind of perusing through here, is the Todd Father didn't get picked like we talked about. And if you want another outfielder that could be quite interesting hitting towards the top of that Detroit lineup, not sure you want three Detroit players, but Cameron Maybin's going to play every day. He's intriguing as well.
Yeah, I can't. Cameron Maybin has burned me more times than the clap. So I don't want any part of Cameron Maybin. And he was, you know, he was one of the guys that I saw way, way back in the day when he was in the Arizona Fall League. And it's crazy. You know, you go out to the Arizona Fall League now, and obviously Welsh way more into it than I am now. But, you know, I'll go to a couple games a year. It used to be like it was me and like six scouts and all the players' girlfriends. And that's it. You know, and that's it. There's a vendor that it was always an old lady reading a romance novel, selling the tickets. You know,
that's hilarious.
She would just be sitting there reading a novel, and you'd be like, hey, can I get one? All right, $7. And then you're in and sit wherever. So I saw Cameron Maybin. It was the day after he had hit two bombs in the fall league. So I said, are you going to hit another two today? And he was like, I don't know if I'll hit two, but I might get one. And I think he might have hit one in that game, too. So I cannot own Cameron Maybin again. I feel like every year I take him. Maybe I'm the curse. So if you own Cameron Maybin this year, you're welcome. Because
Thank
I'm
you.
Not taking
Thank
it.
You.
See, that's with great responsibility. with great power comes great responsibility. So I will fall on that sword.
You're a great man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I took a couple, you know, potential closer stuff late. I went with Hirano, who I've been snapping up late. I got him in round 23 when pretty much every single relief pitcher was cashed. I took Alex Reyes in 27 because Gallegos is holding on to that job probably by a string. And I think, you know, obviously Reyes is a former number one pitching prospect in baseball. I just think that he is going to be rip roaring and ready to go. So I'm excited about a couple of these picks. But are there any? Well, what about these like late platoony closer situations? We already talked about Baltimore. We know you're Hunter Harvey there. Are you Carl Edwards or Matt McGill or Hirano in Seattle?
I am Carl Edwards there, but it's asking a lot. I think Carl Edwards has the best stuff. It's just a matter of who gets it. I'd go Edwards if I had to pick one.
Atlanta, are you Melanson or are you Will Smith?
Will Smith is the better pitcher. Melanson has the job right now, so I'm going to go Melanson.
Same with me. Colorado, are you Scott Oberg waiting for Wade Davis to fail or are you Wade Davis?
Nobody.
yes. If That's I the right one, answer, I think. Yes.
If I have to pick one, it's Scott Oberg because Wade Davis will fail.
San Francisco, who are you in on for your Giants?
Right now it's Tony Watson, but he's banged up. Sean Anderson's look like doo-doo, so I go Tony Watson, but I'm hoping they call up someone from the minors and go from there. There's a couple of nice flamethrowers down there.
St. Louis, are you going with Gallegos? Are you going with an Alex Reyes? Are you hoping Carlos Martinez gets pushed back? What are you doing there?
I'm going Gallegos. The guy's stuff was filthy last year. I think if he gets the job, he'll keep it.
And Washington, they say they're going closer by committee between Hudson and Doolittle. I expect Doolittle to get more, but Huddy might not be a bad pickup late.
I think they're both going to get quite a bit. I think I like Hudson as a very late pickup. He's out there. I think with this new rule of facing three batters, you're going to see a lot of teams with lefty-righty options really go platoony in this situation. That's why Atlanta and others, they'll both get theirs just fine.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for the second hour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Thank you, Bubba. Remember, go follow him at BDEntric. Read all of his stuff. Listen to all of his podcasts. He is a great source of information for you. We appreciate it. And stick around because I got Mike Curlin coming up for hour three. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.